This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A person goes to sleep and realizes that they might not wake up. And that becomes a reality. You know, a person is remorseful, is regretful for how they spent their day. You know, how many things could I have done better today? You know, and then a person has hope in his heart. You know, Allah, give me one more day to make it better. And he has real hope going to sleep that he might get a chance for another day. You know, as opposed to a person who has died, you know, and asks for another chance and he's not getting one.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
And alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا اللهم اجعل عملنا كله صالحا ولوجهك خالصا ولا تجعل لأحد فيه شيئا. This is lesson number 3, looking at reflections upon selected daily supplications, compiled and collected by our Shaykh Abu Muhammad Abdurrauf Shakir, Hafidhullah Ta'ala. In the previous week, we looked at the supplications or remembrances connected to sleeping and waking up. And inshallah, today we will conclude the section on what we say when we awaken, as well as look at what we say when we relieve ourselves. Now, but before we do that, we want to look at the lesson 2 study guide, which we had last week, and we'll look at the questions that came and try our best to review them. Inshallah, you have found it easy. Allah made it easy for you to review the first dua. Bismika, Allahumma, Amutu, Wa Ahya. 5 words. Bismika, Allahumma, Amutu, Wa Ahya. Now, alhamdulillah, keeping with the contract, huh? Good. Right. What is the meaning of the letter Ba in the dua said before going to sleep? Bismillah. The Ba in Bismillah is used for what? Asking Allah for protection. We said that the Bismillah is used for protection. The Ba is for protection. What else? We're asking also for goodness. Now, we're asking for goodness with that Ba as well, with Bismillah in general, but we mentioned 2 other specific meanings. So seeking help, seeking protection, those are kind of in the same area. Number 2, we said, yani that we are sleeping with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the last thing that we mention. Yani, I'm laying down with the name of Allah being on my tongue. With the name of Allah being on my tongue. And the last one, yani, it's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, the affair is with Him, that I die and I wake up. Yani, it's with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are the one in control. You are the one with power. You are the one who decides when I die. You are the one who decides when I live. Now, but the Ba in general, we said, goes back to those 2 meanings, the 2 meanings of protection and blessing. Now, number 2, what 2 meanings are stated for living and dying with the name of Allah? Now, we just answered that one. Now, number 3, why does the author mention that we should say the reported dua before sleeping and upon wakening?
If we remember Allah, and that is in fact the last thing that we say, inshallah,
No, we said to the person, he said to the person who makes remembering Allah the last thing he does before he sleeps and the first thing that he does when he wakes up, that inshallah Allah will give the person the success to be raised on the day of judgment, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, and subhanAllah, in Surah Taha is a wonderful, all the surahs of the Quran are wonderful, but some focus on certain meanings more than others. Allah mentions about those who turn away from the Quran, and it's a moment of reflection for us as it relates to the hereafter. Reading about the hereafter and learning about the hereafter and reflecting on the hereafter. A person goes to sleep and realizes that they might not wake up. And that becomes a reality. A person is remorseful, is regretful for how they spent their day. How many things could I have done better today? And then a person has hope in his heart. Allah, give me one more day to make it better. And he has real hope going to sleep that he might get a chance for another day, as opposed to a person who has died, and asks for another chance and he's not getting one. Now, so Allah says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي, whoever turns away from my remembrance, from this Quran, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا, he will have a horrible, miserable, wretched life. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى, and he will be resurrected from his grave blind. And you imagine the terror that's already going to be in an individual's heart. And then he wakes up blind. Like, it's already scary, and then I can't see anything. And then he says, رَبِّي لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا, my Lord, the one who takes care of me, the one who created me, the one who manages my affairs, why did you resurrect me blind and I used to be able to see? You gave me eyes in the dunya, but now you've resurrected me blind. He says, كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا, our ayat came to you and you nasitaha, you forgot them, you left them, you didn't give them any attention. You looked at them and you, as we say in English, what? You turned a blind eye to them. My ayat were clearly in front of you and you turned a blind eye to them. And so today you will be forgotten as well. You're erased blind. Why? Because in the dunya, you were blind. In the dunya, you chose not to look at the ayat of Allah and benefit. And so, because you did not use your eyes in the dunya, then we took them away from you in the hereafter. Why mention that point? He's raised up blind. Because in this life, he was blind. He was resurrected in the same way that he died. Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, chapter number 17 of the Quran, وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا, whoever's blind in this life will be blind in the next and more unable to find his way. وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا, whoever's blind in this life will be blind in the next, and he will be more unable to find his way. And so a person, this person, and who didn't necessarily die without having eyes, without having vision, he was resurrected how? Blind. Because that was his state of being in his life. Even though physically, at the moment of death, he wasn't blind. And he wasn't physically blind when he died. But because blindness was his normal situation, blindness to the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's what Allah gave him eyes for, to see the ayat of Allah and benefit from them. Because he didn't use them in that way in his life, then he was resurrected blind. And so a person who is constantly remembering Allah, even if he dies in a state where he might not have specifically in this instance been remembering Allah, any per se, but because that was his general condition, then the hope is what? That Allah will raise him and he is remembering him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, and so if a person is in the habit of remembering Allah in the morning and in the evening, then the hope is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect that person remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what three benefits does the author mention result from making one's first and last actions of the day remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's what we just mentioned, yeah? None. Huh? What are the benefits that we mentioned? Making one's first and last actions of the day remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think this is the one that we just mentioned. No. Number five, in what two ways does the author say that the sleeping person resembles the deceased?
Sleeping person is unable to move and unable to know what's going on.
No, he's unable to benefit himself in the dunya and he's unable to benefit himself in the hereafter. He's unable to benefit himself in the dunya and benefit himself for the hereafter. Number six, what is the wisdom of Allah, of Alhamdulillah being the first statement upon awakening? Allah gives us life after death, and it's a way of showing appreciation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us life. It's a realization that having life again is a blessing. That having life is a blessing. What most important benefit is a person prevented from when sleeping? Worship, from doing righteous deeds. And we said that it might be possible for a person to get righteous deeds from sleeping. How? It is possible. We said it might be possible for a person to get righteous deeds while sleeping. How? Intention. That a person sleeps and his intention to sleep is to strengthen himself, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be able to get up for prayer at night, to be able to get up on time for fajr, to be able to take care of the responsibilities that he has in the day. Now, and what does the author mention as the as one of the greatest benefits of sleep? We'll be looking at that, or we'll be starting there, inshallah, today. No. And so if we go to page 16 of the book, the second paragraph there says, from the great benefits of sleep is that it reminds the human being of death. From the great benefits of sleep is that it reminds the human being of death. Yani a person is supposed to remember death often. And so each time a person sleeps, that reality of death should come to the person's mind. And what that does for an individual is it helps to put life in perspective. If a person is afraid that he's not going to wake up possibly in the morning, then what might be the last thing that he does when he sleeps? Remembering Allah. And specifically? Yani if a person believes he's going to die, what emotion comes in a person's heart? Fear. And regret. Fear and regret. Regret that what? I didn't do more with my life. I didn't spend my time in a better way. And so that regret that I could have done better even though I didn't, it prompts a person to do what? It pushes a person to do what? Seek forgiveness. I don't know if I'm getting up to do more. I don't know if I'm getting up to do more. I don't know if Allah's going to wake me up. I know right now I got to go to sleep. There's no getting out of this sleep. I got to go. And I don't know if Allah's going to put my soul back in my body. And so Allah, forgive me. Allah, and pardon me for my shortcomings and for my errors, you know, and forgive me. And don't hold me to account for my mistakes. And so remembering death makes a person reflective. It makes him take himself to account before he goes to sleep. The last thing he does is looks at his day and sees how well was he a worshiper of Allah. Where did he fall short? Now, and it's important for us to remember death and remember resurrection, because that's one of the greatest things that gives life to our hearts. One of the greatest things that gives life to our hearts and keeps us from wasting time and helps us to benefit from these short lives that we have is to remember that we're going to die. And to remember that we're going to be judged in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentions in Surah Sad, chapter number 38 of the Quran, وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ. Remember our slaves, Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub, those who had strength and those who had insight. We made them special by giving them a special quality, dhikr-ad-dar, that their hearts were always thinking about the hereafter. Inna akhlasnahum bikhalisa dhikr-ad-dar. We gave them a special quality. We blessed them with a special quality, which was what? That their hearts were always thinking about the hereafter. And so because they were always thinking about the shortness of life and thinking about being judged in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they tried to do something to change it. When a person's worried about something, he tries to do what he can do to change what he's worried about. Now, and from the, let's move forward. So from the great benefits of sleep, we're on page 16, is that it reminds the human being of death, which is the inevitable end of every human being. The destination of every living being except the ever-living who will never die. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who lives and whose life is perfect and does not die. And so life is the foundational quality upon which all other qualities are derived. It's the quality of life that should be indicative, that should indicate for us, that should show for us the perfection or imperfection of the one bearing that quality. And so we know that human beings are deficient because they die. They didn't control their origin, their beginning, and they don't control their end. And even the lesser death, which is what? Sleep we don't control. Even sleeping and waking up we don't control. And so what that means for us is that as human beings, we look at ourselves as deficient. And we look at every other human being as deficient. No matter how great, how strong, how powerful someone may seem, he's what? Deficient. Because he doesn't control his own life. He can't stop himself from dying. And so if he can't do that for himself, then how is he going to do that for anyone else? If he can't stop himself from being poor, how is he going to stop anyone else from being poor? He can't control his own life. And so he can't do anything for us. And that's important for our tawheed. That's important to our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we put human beings, every human being, in his rightful place, which is that what? He's lowly, deficient, and weak. And by doing so, that saves us from shirk. By recognizing the deficiency in others and in ourselves, that keeps us from what? Shirk. Because we recognize that no human being can do anything for me without the permission of Allah. He can't even control when he goes to sleep and when he wakes up. So what is he going to do for me? I put my trust in him, and then he falls asleep. His phone is off. Something's wrong. He can't help me. It keeps our hearts connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, it takes away our own pride, because we realize we're not much of anything either. No matter what Allah has blessed us with, of wealth, of status, of friendships, of connections, that those things don't mean anything in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it keeps a person from what? Recognizing that Allah is perfect in his life and in every other quality that he has. And human beings are deficient in their lives and every other quality that they have. It saves us from what? Shirk and pride. And shirk and pride keep an individual from what? Shirk and pride keep an individual from what? From Jannah. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. Allah does not forgive that you commit shirk. But he forgives anything else that's lesser than that to whom he wills. No one will enter Jannah who has what? The smallest amount of kibr, pride in his heart. Shirk and kibr. Shirk and pride, these are the two illnesses that a human being has to strive to free himself of, and that Islam seeks to remove from the individual. And prayer is from the greatest aids and assistance in that. To indicate to us from the Quran the importance of the quality of life, and that this is the foundational quality. And that based upon the recognition of the perfection of Allah's life and the deficiency of our lives, and based upon that, we have no pride and no shirk. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Ghafir, chapter number 40 of the Quran, هُوَ الْحَيُّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَاعْبُدْهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ هُوَ الْحَيُّ لا إله إلا هو فدعوه مخلصين له الدين. He is the ever living. He is the one perfect in his life. لا إله إلا هو. Nothing deserves to be worshipped besides him. Why? Because nothing else has that perfection. And so call on him and worship him, making your worship sincere and exclusive to him. الحمد لله رب العالمين. It's in Surah Ghafir. And Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter number 25 of the Quran, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتِ. And put your trust in the one that has perfect life and does not die. Put your trust in the one who has perfect life and does not die. And so here, worship and dependency, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, which keeps us from arrogance, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, which keeps us from shirk, keeps us from turning to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These two illnesses are resolved by a person understanding this quality of being living. Now, and so every human being is weak because he has to die. Similarly, in the awakening from sleep is a proof of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one free from imperfections, to resurrect the physical bodies after their death. It is not that we believe that the souls alone will be resurrected, but Allah will gather the bodies themselves, and the bodies themselves will testify in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the actions that the human being did. And so when we sleep and wake up, this is a testimony. This is a reminder of what? The resurrection. When we go to sleep and we die the lesser death and we wake up, it's a reminder to us that Allah is going to what? Resurrect us on the day of judgment. For this reason, at the time of awakening from sleep, the Prophet ﷺ said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. For that reason, Allah says, the Prophet ﷺ said when he awakened from sleep, all praise is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise is to Allah who gave us life after he caused us to die, and unto him is the nushur, is the resurrection. Wa ilayhi an-nushur. I want you to hold on to that word. What's the word? Nushur. What does nushur mean? Resurrection. All right. He says, as for his saying, wa ilayhi an-nushur, and to him is the nushur, and to him is the resurrection, back to life. An-nushur refers to when the human being will be raised up on the day of resurrection and be given life after having been caused to die. An-nushur refers to what? The resurrection. When a person will be raised up after having and be given life after having been caused to die. Allah says in Surah Ad-Dukhan, chapter number 44, verse 35, you can find it on the back of today's handout. Yeah, letter number B, letter B of today's handout. Allah says, on the tongues of the mushrikeen, that they say, in hiya illa mawtatuna al-ula wa ma nahnu bimunsharin. In hiya illa mawtatuna al-ula, yani it's only our first death, wa ma nahnu bimunsharin. Munsharin is the same root as nushur. Nushur, munsharin. It's only our first death and we will not be resurrected. What did I bring that ayat for? To show us the connection between maut and nushur. That the mushrikeen, they say, we only die one time. It's only our first death. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُنْشَرِينَ. We're not going to be resurrected. And then they say, فَأْتُوا بِآبَائِنَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring our fathers back if you're truthful. Nah, I'm challenging Allah. So nushur refers to resurrection after having died. He says, we're on page 17, hence the Prophet ﷺ calls to our attention by mentioning the return of the awake state after the state of sleeping, which is a type of death, as mentioned previously, the confirmation of the return to life after death. And so here in this dua, when we wake up, we say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana. All praises to the one who caused us to live. What does that mean, who caused us to live? What does that mean? Caused us to live how? How? To wake up. Now, all praise is to the one who gave us life. What does he mean, giving us life? Waking us up. Ba'dama amatana. After he caused us to die. What does that mean? To sleep. Here he refers to sleep as death. Wa ilayhi nushur. And to him is the nushur. What is nushur? Resurrection. All praise to the one who awakened me, who gave me life again, after he caused me to die, falling asleep. And he's going to cause me to live after my greater death too. I praise the one who has brought me back to life, who's given me another chance, after he caused me to die, to fall asleep. And one day, he is going to resurrect me from my greater death. Now, and so this is the second benefit, or another benefit, of sleep. One benefit is it reminds us of death, and another benefit is that the process of sleeping and waking up is a reminder of the resurrection as well. Yani, when a person remembers death, it's a reminder to him to do what? To work harder. To work harder. To strive to make the most of his life. And when he's reminded of his resurrection, he's reminded of taking himself to account, of looking at what he's done in the day and seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him, to give us all a light reckoning. He says, on the day of resurrection, the day when all people will stand before the Lord of all the worlds, he says, in this same vein, it is confirmed in Al-Bukhari's book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, from the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, may Allah be pleased with him, radiallahu anhu, who said, when the Prophet ﷺ intended to sleep, he would put his hand under his right cheek and say, Allahumma qini azabak yawma tab'athu ibadak. O Allah, protect me from your punishment on the day that you resurrect your servants. O Allah, protect me from your punishment on the day that you resurrect your servants. No. Allahumma qini azabak yawma tab'athu ibadak. O Allah, save me from your punishment on the day that you resurrect your servants. And how is a person going to be saved from Allah's punishment? Through his mercy and his forgiveness. And so this dua here is a request for mercy. Allahumma qini azabak yawma tab'athu ibadak. And so it shows what? That again, that the resurrection reminds a person of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his need for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And death reminds a person to push, to try to do as much as he can with the life that he has. And subhanAllah, interestingly enough, Al-Bara ibn Azib, radiallahu anhu, seems to have several remembrances that he remembered from the Prophet ﷺ related to sleeping and waking up. And so we mentioned that these two du'as that we mentioned, Bismika Allahumma Amutu wa Ahya and Alhamdulillah Ladhi Ahyana Ba'dama Amatina wa Ilayhi Nushur, these two du'as that we committed ourselves to memorizing, that these two are reported by Hudhaifa in Sahih Bukhari and reported by Al-Bara ibn Azib in Sahih Muslim. And here is another dua from Al-Bara ibn Azib, also in Abu Dawood. Allahumma qini azabak yawma tab'athu ibadak. O Allah, save me from your punishment on the day that you resurrect your servants. There's another dua that's collected in Bukhari and Muslim. SubhanAllah, in Fath al-Bari by Ibn Rajab, there's Saqt. There's a place where the certain ahadith are missing. SubhanAllah, this hadith is hadith number 247 in Sahih Bukhari. The last missing hadith in Fath al-Bari is 247. He goes into 248. Yani, if Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, had done the sharh of this dua I'm about to mention to you, I know, Allah knows best, it would have been tremendous. Because Ibn Rajab is subhanAllah, is different. But alhamdulillah, Allah left for us the explanation of Imam al-Qurtubi, Abu al-Abbas al-Qurtubi, the explainer of al-Mufhim fi sharhi, mukhtasari, Sahih Muslim. He mentions a dua that the Prophet ﷺ recommended that a person say before he goes to sleep. I've put it on the other side of the handout. It's hadith number 247 in Sahih Bukhari, 6313 in Sahih Bukhari, and also 7488 in Sahih Bukhari. This is number letter C. And also it's 2710 in Sahih Muslim. I put the transliteration there as well, you know, and for those who don't know Arabic and would like to memorize it, that Allah, you know, blesses you to be able to memorize. It's a tremendous remembrance. It's not required. If you have the orange book, you don't have to remember this one. Yeah, this is extra. This is nawafil, huh? This is extra. This is not a part of the contract. But it's beautiful. Al-Bara bin Azib mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person intends to lie down and go to bed, that he should perform wudu. He should perform wudu, and then he should lay down on his right side. He should perform wudu, and he should lie down on his right side, and he should say, Allahumma aslamtu nafsi ilayk. O Allah, I have surrendered myself to you. I have submitted myself to you. وَفَوَّضْتُ أَمْرِي إِلَيْكَ And I have turned my affair over to you. وَوَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِ إِلَيْكَ And I have turned my face towards you. وَأَلْجَأْتُ ظَهْرِي إِلَيْكَ And I have turned my back to depend upon you, to be supported by you. رَغْبَةً وَرَحْبَةً إِلَيْكَ Out of fear and out of hope for you. لَا مَلْجَ وَلَا مَنْجَ مِنْكَ إِلَّا إِلَيْكَ There's nowhere to run and nowhere to hide except to you. آمَنْتُ بِكِتَابِكَ الَّذِي أَنْزَلْتَ I believe in the book that you have sent down. وَبِنَبِيِّكَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلْتَ And in the prophet that you sent. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَجَعَلْهُ آخِرَ مَا تَقُولُ And make it the last thing that you say before going to sleep. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to memorize this and to help it to be the last thing that we say before we go to sleep. He said, فَإِن مِتَّ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ If you die, you die upon the fitrah. On the natural way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ أَصْبَحْتَ أَصَبْتَ خَيْرًا And if you wake up, then you have gained a huge blessing and a huge benefit. What I want to focus on here, just briefly, is what Imam al-Qurtubi, Abu al-Abbas al-Qurtubi mentions in his sharh. He mentions that making wudu and lying down on one's right side, a person is positioning himself as if he's laying in his grave. A person is washed before he's placed in his grave. And so a person makes wudu before he lays down. And I encourage you, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Get in the habit of making wudu before you lay down to sleep. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as mentioned in the Sunnah of Abi Dawood, استقيموا ولن تحصوا واعلموا أن خير أعمالكم الصلاة ولا يحفظوا على الوضوء إلا مؤمن. Remain firm in your Islam, and you won't be able to do everything. You're going to have shortcomings. And know that the best of your actions is prayer. And only a believer stays in a state of purification. Only a believer guards his wudu all the time. And so even at the time of sleeping, a person makes wudu. And this is from the ribat. This is from guarding the borders. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, isbagh al-wudu ala al-makari. Making wudu when it's difficult, when you don't want to, when it's uncomfortable. And this is one of those moments. A person wants to lay down. La. Make wudu. And then lay down on your right side, the same way that you'll be placed in the grave. And then these things that a person mentions are the very things that he's going to be questioned about if he doesn't wake up. Allahumma aslamtu nafsi ilayk. I've submitted myself to you. This is Islam. Ma dinuk? Al-Islam. Wa fawwadtu amri ilayk. And I've turned my affair over to you. Why? Because you're my Lord. And I depend on you. Wajjahtu wajhi ilayk. I've turned my face to you. Wa alja'tu dhahri ilayk. And I've put my back depending on you. There's nowhere to turn. Raghbatan wa rahbatan ilayk. My hope and my fear is tied to you. Tawheed. La malja'a wa la manja minka illa ilayk. There's nowhere to turn, nowhere to hide except to you. Amantu bi kitabika alladhi anzalt. I believe in the book that you sent down. Wa ish? Wa nabiyika alladhi arsalt. Man nabiyuk? I believe in the prophet that you sent. I've submitted to you in Islam. I depend on you. You're my Lord. And I believe in your prophet. Yani a person hopes that if this is what he says before he goes to bed and he dies in his sleep, that Allah will give him the tawfiq to answer those questions in his grave. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you die, you've died on the fitrah. You've died in the natural state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being. And how did Allah create the human being? Knowing his Lord. Alastu bi rabbikum? Am I not your Lord? Qalu bala shahidna. They said, of course, we testify to that. Now, so that's the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib. And so again, there seems to be Al-Bara ibn Azib seems to have given real attention to what? The adhkar related to sleeping and waking up. Now, because we have now three from him that he reports. Now, طيب. Moving on to before entering the bathroom. I think it's important before mentioning the adhkar as it relates to entering the bathroom that we reflect on two things. Number one, that Islam covers every aspect of a human being's life. That Islam covers every aspect of a human being's life. And that's from the blessings of Islam. It's not a Saturday, Sunday event. Every single aspect of our lives is regulated by Islam. What we do when we wake up, how we start our day, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, what we say when we get in our car, what we say as we get dressed, what we say as we enter the bathroom and relieve ourselves, what we say as we head out the door on our way to work, on our way to school, praying throughout the day, what we say when we eat lunch, what we say when we eat breakfast, what we say when we finish eating. Meaning all the aspects of a person's day in Islam are regulated. Allah doesn't leave us for a moment to ourselves. Allah is so concerned about our salvation and our success that there's not a moment of our lives that He leaves to us. He regulates every single moment of our lives. He tells us what we can do every single moment of our lives so that we're what? So that we're successful. Number two, from the benefits of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gratitude. Because a Muslim is remembering Allah throughout the day, he is beginning to remember the blessings of Allah throughout his day. We just said, a person goes to sleep and he recognizes the blessing of time because he knows, I might lay down, I might not have any more time. This might be it. And is this all I have? Is this all my life? Is this all I've done for the day, for my lifetime? Is this all I'm meeting Allah with? You know, and that next day, if Allah blesses him to wake up, he appreciates, inshallah, the day that he has. He remembers the shortcomings of yesterday, and at least he has in his heart, I want to make today better. And so a person sleeps, and it's a blessing. And a person wakes up, and it's a blessing. And a person eats, and it's a blessing. And a person puts on his clothes, it's a blessing because he's remembering Allah at each of these intervals. And so the remembrance of Allah, it what? It evokes shukr. It places shukr and gratitude in our hearts. And as mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, this is also on the handout, letter D, on the backside of the handout. Chapter number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 153, Allah combines between remembering him and being thankful to him. Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, and I will remember you. وَشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. And be grateful to me, and don't be ungrateful. Remembering Allah is from the greatest means by which a person can be more grateful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who forgets the blessings of Allah also forgets to what? To be grateful. He forgets to thank Allah for his blessings. And as Allah mentions in the Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those who forgot Allah, and so Allah made them forget themselves. He says, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. So this one's a bit longer, huh? Bismillah, that one's easy. Allahumma, O Allah, inni a'udhu bika. I seek refuge with you. If you know Surah An-Nas and Surah Al-Falaq, قُلْ أَعُوذُ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. So, أَعُوذُ is used with ba. Certain verbs in Arabic are used with certain حروف. And so أَعُوذُ is used with ba. أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. I seek refuge with the words of Allah. أَعُوذُ بِكَ. I seek refuge with you. أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. I seek refuge with the Lord of the Dawn. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. So أَعُوذُ بِ. That comes together. Allahumma inni أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْخُبُثِ وَالْخَبَائِثِ. So those are the three words that we really have to learn that are fresh. مِنْ الْخُبُثِ وَالْخَبَائِثِ. مِنَ الْخُبُثِ خُبُثِ وَالْخَبَائِثِ. In the name of Allah, or with the name of Allah, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the male and female evil or unclean spirits. Text of the hadith, whenever the Prophet ﷺ intended to enter al-khala, whenever he intended, yani this is before going inside, whenever he intended to enter the al-khala, al-khala means an empty place, a place where there's not people and not any amenities that people benefit from, an empty place designated for using the bathroom. Previously, people used the bathroom outside. And they would have any secluded, designated places where they would do that. And so when a person would go to this place, and for us in present day times, it would be our bathrooms in our homes. When he would enter an empty place to answer the call of nature, to use the bathroom, he would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. O Allah, I seek refuge with you. I take refuge with you from the evil male and female spirits. Explanation of the hadith, we're on page 19. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bismillah, means in the name of Allah, I enter the bathroom to achieve every benefit and repulse every harm. Yani the word Bismillah, the Shaykh is mentioning here that Bismillah is used for two reasons. The first one is to what? Achieve benefit, to get the good things that I need. And it's also to do what? To protect me from harm, to bring the good and to protect from the evil. And one of these instances is when using the bathroom. What is the good for me in the bathroom? Is there good in the bathroom? Yeah. What is it? Removing that filth from my body. Removing that filth from my body. Now, in a dignified way, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from ever having to be in the hospital and having to be subjected to someone else having to take care of that for us. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Allahumma aafina fi abdanina. Oh Allah, please preserve for us our health and our bodies. Now, it's a ni'mah. Yani a part of Bismillah is asking Allah to remove that filth and to protect the functionality of these organs. Because not everybody is blessed with that. Or to have to use a bag that has to be emptied. And how many blessings do we take for granted until they're gone? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to appreciate his blessings and that he not take them away from us because of our ingratitude. Now, and so the achieving of the benefit is that a person is able to remove this harm from himself. And the protection from harm is that he be bothered and annoyed and harmed by these unclean spirits that are in these areas. He says, his saying, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika, means I call on you, Allah, seeking protection, refuge, and shelter in you, the only one who has power over everything. Allah, when you say a'udhu bika, O Allah, I take refuge with you, he says, I call upon you, Allah, seeking protection, refuge, and shelter in you, the only one who has power over everything. And so that statement, a'udhu bika, I take refuge with you, is an indication of human deficiency and weakness. It's humbling. Allah, I need you to protect me. Allah, I need your help. I can't protect myself. Allah, only you can protect me in this situation. And subhanAllah, I mean, a person using the bathroom is in a very vulnerable position. It's very hard to protect oneself. And from shayateen, from the shayateen of the jinn and the shayateen of human beings, when a person is relieving himself. Just as a side note, that story has come in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu on a mission during the Battle of the Trench to find out news about what the Quraysh and their allies were doing. And so he said, la tuhayyij al-qawm, don't get them stirred up. Don't do anything that gets them worked up again, because their hearts, the pagans, their hearts was already like they were losing spirit and they was getting ready to go home. But the Prophet ﷺ wanted to know what was going on with them. And so he said, listen, just find out what's happening. Don't do anything to get the people riled up. So Hudhayfa went and he was able to disguise himself well where people didn't know who he was. He said, I saw Abu Sufyan, and he was the head of the pagans at that time. He said, and he was using the bathroom. He said, and all I had to do was take out an arrow. He said, I could have got him. He said, I almost did. He said, but I remembered that the Prophet ﷺ said, La tuhayyij al-qawm, don't do anything to stir him up. He said, so I put it back and I left. Abu Sufyan later on became a Muslim. Allah decreed he wasn't going to die at that moment. He was in a state where he was vulnerable and he didn't know his own life could have been taken at that moment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what? Protected him and gave him the opportunity to repent. And so a person recognizes this lots of times when we are vulnerable, when we can't protect ourselves. And so seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, even in this simple situation, I can't protect myself. And so I need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect me. And so it's humbling. He says his saying, min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. He says al-khubuthi or al-khubthi. So there's two ways to say it. You can say khubuthi, khubuthi. There's a u on the ba, khubuthi, or al-khubthi. Al-khubuthi or al-khubthi. Either one is okay. He said both readings are correct. He says, is the plural of khabith. And khaba'ith, he says, is the plural of khabith. Khubuthi and khubth is the plural of khabith. And khaba'ith is the plural of khabitha. Meaning, male and female evil spirits. I seek refuge with you, O Allah, from the male and female evil jinn. O Allah, I take refuge with you from the male and female evil spirits. Because these creatures, they inhabit these filthy areas. He says these two words have also been interpreted, yani khubuthi wal khaba'ith, as evil and evildoers. Khubuth is evil and khaba'ith is evildoers, yani evil souls. And so the toilet or the bathroom is one of the places of abode for evil spirits. And on that note, it's important that because it's a place of evil, and because it's a place, you know, evil, not that you're doing sins there, but that it's a place of, you know, disgust. And it's a place where you cannot remember Allah, that a person should spend the least amount of time in the bathroom as possible. Not reading newspapers, books, playing games, searching your phone, answering phone calls. La. A person doesn't do those things. This is a filthy, you get in, you get out. Whatever else is going on in the world can wait right now. That's a horrible state to be, you know, taking care of other business besides the business that you're in. Yeah? That's not a place of recreation. I mean, we try to make it comfortable and nice and smelling nice and whatnot, but that is a disgusting place. And so a person spends as little time as possible, only the amount of time is necessary, and then come out, because it's a place where Allah's name is not to be remembered. It's a place where Allah's name is not to be remembered. And a place where Allah's name is not to remember is not a place that a Muslim wants to be. A place where Allah's name is not to be remembered is not a place where a Muslim wants to be. No. He says, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, may Allah have mercy on him, mentioned in his explanation of Al-Bukhari, entitled Fath al-Bari, that in some of the narrations of this hadith from Abdulaziz ibn Suhaib, he's the narrator from Anas ibn Malik, it has the words, if you enter the bathroom, yani إِذَا دَخَلْتَ الْخَلَىٰ, if you enter the bathroom, then you must say, Bismillah, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْخُبُثِ وَالْخَبَائِثِ. Yani here he's mentioning that the term Bismillah, in the narrations in Bukhari and Muslim, Bismillah did not come at the beginning of this hadith, of this dhikr. But in another narration outside of Bukhari and Muslim, the term Bismillah comes. And Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, who is a mountain when it comes to the science of hadith, he says that the chain is according to the condition of Imam Muslim, and it's a strong chain, meaning that this Bismillah should be said, even if it doesn't come in the narration of Bukhari and Muslim. Also, he says, saying Bismillah upon entering the bathroom is also confirmed. So we're bringing added support, since it didn't come in Bukhari and Muslim, is also confirmed in the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet ﷺ said, As-sitra ladhi bainakum, or bainakum wa bain ayun al-jinn, or bain ayun al-jinn wa awrat bani Adam, idha dakhal al-khala, and yaqulu bismillah, or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that the screen, the sitr, which is between the eyes of the jinn and the private parts of the human beings, yani the jinn seeing you naked, what stops them from being able to see you in a naked state when you enter the bathroom, or even when a person disrobes, takes off their clothes in their own bedroom, is to say what? Bismillah. Bismillah is a protection from the jinn being able to see an individual when he is disrobed. And so he's using this as evidence to say what? That before you go into the bathroom, you want to say Bismillah, and you also want to say Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. And these are two different reasons, two different realities. We're saying a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith for what? To be protected from the harm of the jinn. To be protected from the harm of the jinn. How can they harm you? You could trip and make your urine splash on you. Or maybe make you slip in the bathtub. There could be different things that can happen. And these are evil creatures that want to cause you harm. You know, their life is bent on causing you harm. And they are real. And they are real. But they have no power without the yani, outside of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so a person has to do what? Has to seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah, on the other hand, does what? Huh? it provides a screen, it provides a cover. Bismillah provides a cover. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith provides protection from their harm. And Bismillah provides a cover from them being able to see you. So these are two different things. Imam al-Bukhari, one of his chapter headings in Sahih al-Bukhari is Bab At-Tasmiyatu ala kulli hal wa inda al-wiqa'. He said, chapter, saying Bismillah in every situation, even when being intimate with one's wife. Saying Bismillah in every situation, even when being intimate with one's wife. So here, Imam al-Bukhari, in this chapter heading, is saying what? That in every situation, a person can say Bismillah. In every situation, a person can say Bismillah. Seeking Allah's, seeking what? What do we mean when we say Bismillah? What are we seeking? Allah's protection and His blessing. We said Bismillah in general. This was at the very beginning of the explanation of this hadith. Bismillah is a statement of protection, seeking protection, and a statement of seeking blessing. Now, he said, if one of the in one of the narrations of Bukhari, it says, if someone intends to enter, its meaning is that you should say this supplication before entering the bathroom and not after entering it. Yani, it should not be said, Bismillah should not be said when a person enters the bathroom. And there is a slight difference of opinion amongst the scholars about this, but the most prevalent opinion appears to be what the Sheikh has affirmed, which is that the bathroom is not a place to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't even give salams back, yani, when he was not in a state of wudu. No. And so, again, the idea is that these remembrances remind us of our own weakness, of our need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also are a means of us being grateful that a person relieves himself and he remembers that he needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him to be able to have in his body to be functioning in such a way that he can relieve himself in a dignified way and doesn't depend on anyone else to do that for him. And it's a blessing that we do not perhaps appreciate enough, and that inshallah will lead us into our next remembrance, which we will go into next week, which is very, very short, huh? This is in the ma'al usri yusra, yeah? So this week you got a long one, yeah? Bismika Allahumma, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'. That's gonna be some work, yeah? But next week, gufranak, Allahu Akbar, huh? So with the difficulty comes the ease. So the ease is coming next week, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan. Subhanahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Taslima kathira.